to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I know we had marked on the bulletin that we were having a business meeting tonight, but I mentioned to you earlier we were just going to have a church meeting for a few minutes, and we're going to do that right now. But if you want to get your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter number 2, there are some different areas in our church that there are some needs, and so we're looking for the next couple. I'm on. Okay, can you hear me? Good, good. So there is some needs that we have at the church here, and throughout the summer, different weeks, we're going to talk about different things. There's an area that we need to work on a little bit, and that is our greeters ministry. So I have a survey, and in the survey it says, do you currently serve in the greeter ministry? Okay. And secondly, if so, what days do you do, or which Sunday of the month? How often are you willing to serve? Do you have a preferred date, time, and are you willing to fill in because of an emergency? These are going to be back on the offering plate table. We need some help with the greeters ministry. We like to have someone greeting at the door for both doors before Sunday school, before Sunday morning, before Sunday night, before Wednesday night. And that means they have to be here early. And if you're interested in it, just fill this out, whether you've been a part of it or not. And we will have a meeting with those that are interested in it. You don't have to do it. I know right now it's scheduled that they do it once a month, and they cover both things. We'll debate, depending on how much we have interest in this, we will depend on how we're going to divide things up. So fill this out for me if you're interested. And you say, what is a greeter? Someone who greets people at the door. It's nice if you have a smile. And it's, I guess smile is optional, but it's nice. You open the door up for the people. You talk to the people. You encourage them. I know in Sunday morning and Sunday night, the choir is not going to be able to be a part of it because we want people to stay until the service begins, even a few minutes after, because sometimes people are late for church. I can't believe that people would be late for church, but sometimes people are a few minutes late for church. But on Sunday, people in the choir that like to be a part of that in Sunday school, before Sunday school or before Wednesday night, there's options there. So don't feel like because if you're in the choir, you can't do it. There is an opportunity there for Sunday school and Wednesday night. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to organize it. We're going to put somebody in charge of it. And we're going to hopefully have greeters each and every time a service comes in, not only for to encourage your church members as they come in and get to know them, but also for people that are visiting that might have questions where their kids would go, or where the nursery may be, or just to greet someone with a smile. I think we have a very friendly church when the people get into the doors and they're here. We're willing to go out and talk to them, but it's important that first point of contact. People are a little bit nervous when they come into a service, so a greeter is something that is very, very important, and it's something, a job that most anybody, if they want to, can do it. We just want them to take it seriously and be a part of it, something we have not talked about for quite some time. And I'm not blaming anybody but me for that. So I know we haven't had much said about those things in greeting, so we need help with that. Another thing we're looking for help with, and we're taking another survey, is for nursery workers. Some of you know Mrs. Arnold's getting ready to have a pretty serious surgery on her foot, ankle area, and she's going to be out of the nursery for a little while. So Mrs. Sharon Yannick's going to be taking charge of the nursery for at least a year, and she already knows that. I didn't just surprise her with that. But we also, same type of thing, we want to know if you're willing to help in the nursery. We like to have some more helpers if possible. Makes life a little bit easier if you're willing to help and different things like that. And there's another question there about that. Pretty much the same questions. They will be back there on the offering plate table. The opportunity that you know that there's ministries that need help. Some of you may only do once a month and might be willing to do a couple times a month. We try to limit how many times you're out of a service in a week. For instance, if we have someone teaching Sunday school and then someone teaching Wednesday night, you know, we don't want them doing nursery multiple times in a month because we want them to be in the service also, because the service is important. Serving, but also hearing the preaching and teaching God's word is important too. So if you're able to, interested in it, and even if you just want to sign up and say, I'm might be interested in it, and we're going to have a meeting with all the ladies that are helping in the nursery, and then we're going to go over and work with that. Don't have to worry. We don't plan on scheduling your certain date. You have a certain Sunday you like and a certain service time you like. We're not going to try to mess up anybody's plans or what's going on, but we're just looking to gauge how much interest we have and how much people are willing to meet the need. And so we appreciate those that are back there in the nursery, appreciate those that are working back there, and appreciate those who have given and helped in our greeting ministry. But it's something that as a church, I think we need help with. And so, like I said, in a couple of weeks, we probably won't do it next week, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to introduce some more things that we could use some help with without having an assistant pastor. There are sometimes more needs that come up, and I do not mind working. I do not mind working hard. If I had to do a lot of other things, I can't focus on some of the ministerial type things because only a certain number of hours in a day and days in a week. So we just want to let you know that there's needs in areas. So that way, if the Lord speaks to your heart, you can respond. I know I was talking to somebody last week. They says, Pastor, if you don't tell people, they don't know that there's a need. And they said, sometimes you got to say it week after week. And I don't like doing that. I'm not that type of person. I think if the need is said, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, just respond. Don't say, well, let's wait and see if somebody else is going to do it first. And respond. And another concern I have is some people that are doing a whole big bunch, they try to add something else to their list. Okay, if that's what the Lord wants, then great. But there are some that could help, interested in helping. Even some who've come to me say, what can I do to help? These are a couple areas to begin with. And like I said, there are going to be other things to pray about it, see what God's spoken to your heart about. And I want to encourage you. We are looking forward to our church growing and being a part of our church. So we need a good nursery staff for that. Also, we need a good staff of people that are greeting people at the door, welcoming them in, offering them a bulletin, things like that. And I think it's something we will train you on what we want you to do, what you need to do to make people feel welcome, and also to make people feel like we want them here. So let's go ahead and get into the Word of God tonight. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. I alluded to this morning what we're going to preach about. For you that were not here this morning, maybe in the back or maybe at a different church, we preached a message talking about not just hearing the Word of God, but doing the Word of God. And it's found in Luke chapter number 6. We're going through the book of Luke. And there's that question that was asked by Jesus. And he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord? I want to make sure I don't misquote it here. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So here's the point is that he was saying, Jesus is asking a specific question, why are you calling me Lord but not listening to me? If you recognize me as God, you say that I'm Lord, I'm supposed to be Lord of your life, that means that you are my servant and you're supposed to be obedient to me as the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had just preached a sermon on the mount, and he had just told them things that they had probably never heard or never experienced, and their mind was probably blown away about love your enemies. Who does that? Talks about not judging others, but judging your own hearts before we judge someone else's heart. Talks about a way of giving. I mean, there's a ton of things in that sermon that just goes away from thou shalt and thou shalt not, and goes to the point and says, okay, what's your motives? It's not just about some outward exterior that you can put forth as a persona. It's what are your motives in serving? What is your motives? And he says, now, after he preaches all that, he says, look, you call me Lord, but you don't listen. There's a problem. I'm not really Lord unless you're going to be willing to listen. And then he gives that illustration of building the man who built his house upon the rock. Talk about the wise man from Matthew chapter number 6-7. And then talking about the foolish man who built with no foundation and how the one was usable and that the one was stable, but the other one was useless and the other one was unstable. How God can use a person who builds upon the foundation of listening to the Word of God, but the key is not just listening, but also doing. And then how it's really we're useless as servants of God if we will listen but not do. There is a twin pillars. We not only need to hear, and it's good we're here, it's good that we listen to the Word of God, but it's when we hear it and do it, that's when we are considered wise. That is when we're considered stable. That is the type of person God can use. Now, the person who hears the Word of God and chooses not to obey it, Jesus called them foolish. And James, it says that that person is deceiving themselves, thinking everything's okay. I can build my life on my own interpretation of what Jesus says and then go on. So you say, okay, we heard that all this morning. So tonight, I'd like to just for a little while, and probably won't take as long as most Sunday nights, and I know some of you are excited about that, it's about developing a hunger for God's Word. See, If we're truly going to do what we hear, we got to hear it. We got to read it. We got to get into our Bibles. you think about what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so what the Bible has given implication here, that as a newborn babe, and I don't have much experience in newborn babies. I had two, and I know that newborn babies, when they're hungry and they desire the sire milk, they can be loud and they can be obnoxious. They want to get fed. They have a great desire. It's good that babies can't do very much, because if they could, you know, cause issues and problems, they probably would, just to get what they want. But it's this idea that a newborn baby desires that sincere milk, but it's referring to a Christian, a believer, a person who truly gets saved is someone who's going to want to know more about God and know more about the Bible. You know, our scripture reading, our preaching and teaching should not be a grin and bear it type thing. It should not be, I guess I got to open up the Word of God again. I guess I got to open up the Bible. It's something I'm forced to do. It's something I have to do. It's something I don't really want to do. That's not what a growing Christian is going to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I know sometimes there may be dry spells. There may be times where we're not excited about opening up the Bible. And that's what we're going to talk about, developing a hunger for God's Word. Cultivating a desire for God's Word. And these are just some simple things that I want to encourage you with tonight, because if we're not in the Bible and we're not in the Word of God and we're not letting it impact our lives, we're going to be like that foolish man. We're going to be coming and hearing. We're going to read portions of Scripture just because we know we have to, or we're not going to get God's blessings, but we're not going to listen to it. We're not going to think it's important. So there's six things I like to think about tonight. But before we get there, listen to some of these verses that talk about the desires that some people have about the Word of God. Psalms 1:2. But his delight, it's not just, you know, I got to read it. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Job put it this way. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He's saying, I think the word of God is more important than my food. Psalms 119, the whole chapter is mixed in and out about the love that David has for the commandments of God and the love that David has for his word. He said, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thine commandments. They had a hunger and they had a desire and they wanted the word of God. Is that where we're at? I hate to say that. That's probably not the case for most of us. So here's some thoughts there about to encourage and how to develop a hunger for the Word of God. And some practical things here. First thing I want you to think about is taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see the Lord is good. Here you see in verse number two, that newborn babes has a desire. If you're truly a Christian, if you're saved, the appetite for the Word of God is in there somewhere. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside you. He resides inside you. He has a desire for his word to come through. We might have stifled this. We might have ignored it. We might have pushed it so far to the side that we just really have no desire to hear the Bible. We have no desire to read. We need to just begin reading it. We need to taste and see the Lord is good. We're going to use some food analogies tonight. I hope they come across. They work for me, and I know that doesn't always work for you, but it works for me. I know that there's sometimes in our lives that there's something there. Use green vegetables. I know some of you like green vegetables, but I'm not a big fan of green vegetables. You use Brussels sprouts. You sit there, you look at them, and you say, I don't like them. And then the question's asked, have you ever tried it? And I know Mrs. Arnold force-fed my kids some Brussels sprouts when we went to camp before, and they said the same thing. They said, "Have you ever eaten it?" And they said, "No. How do you know that you don't like it unless you try it?" And it's the same thing with the Word of God. The only way you're ever going to desire and cultivate an appetite and a desire for the Word of God is to dive into it, is to get into it, is to read it. It's there for us. It's what changes our lives. And if we're not willing to do what we're told, once again, it's not just about hearing it, it's doing it. When it tells us to delight in the law of the Lord, we need to learn how to try to do that. You say, well, how can I get that done? It's not going to start unless you get in the Bible. It's not going to start unless you begin reading it, begin studying it, begin thinking about it. Say, well, I've tried that before. It's just too hard. It's just too tough. Well, first things first is inside you as a Christian, there is a desire somewhere in there. It might be pushed all the way down, but the Holy Spirit of God will help you with that. Start by reading it. Start by reading something, and maybe you need to focus on one passage for a whole month until you get a good understanding of it all. So I thought you were supposed to do this much each day. Hey, what you get out of it, you start developing a desire for it. Once you get it and you start enjoying it, you know what? You're going to want to keep on coming back for it. I used to say that I don't like any green vegetables. But you know, I've eaten green beans so many times in my life now that I actually like green beans that taste good, that are seasoned the right way. It's amazing. Isn't that great? I don't tell many people that. Usually I just say, cooked green vegetables, and you can keep them. But, you know, that's something, you know, how did that happen? It's because I was force-fed them over and over and over. And you know what? After a while, you know what happens? You can start acquiring your taste for it. I know someone, I know someone told me about things I enjoy doing. I enjoy sodas. And sodas is something that's not good for you, has a lot of sugar in it, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I just don't like the taste of water. And someone said, why don't you drink unsweet tea? And I said, unsweet tea tastes nasty. It just, I mean, but then they said, you know, at the beginning, it doesn't taste, maybe not taste that good. But after drinking it over a long period of time, you begin to desire a taste for it. And I didn't believe them, so I didn't try it. But I did do it with water, though. And if I'm drinking water and drinking it on a regular basis, I actually have a desire for it. I like it. And I don't like to admit that because I'd much rather have my Mountain Dew, but water is something that is much better for you. And it's something that I'm never going to know it. I'm never going to learn to desire it. I'm never going to long for it. I'm never going to want it unless I first experience it. So the first thing, if you want to cultivate or get a desire for the Word of God, you have to taste. And that you say, well, taste and see the Lord is good. That sounds familiar. It's because it's a Bible verse. It's Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Second thing I want you to see about cultivating or developing an appetite or a hunger for the Word of God is we need to get rid of competing appetites. If we truly are going to have a desire to learn about the Word of God and desire to have a hunger for it, you know, delighting in it, our heart panting for it, you know, those verses we read and we're like, how do you get there? How can you see the Bible more important than food? How in the world can somebody say that? We had to get rid of competing appetites. Look what it says in verse number one here. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, and there are some things that we need to lay aside. There are some things that we need to lay aside. To be honest with you, when I go to drink my water here, you know what? I'm looking forward to it. But if I know I have a Mountain Dew that's around, I don't want the water at all. I want the soda. But when I set aside the Mountain Dew and say, you know what, I'm not going to drink that because I know that's not good for me, that's going to take away my taste and my desire for what I need, you know what's going to happen? If I keep on drinking that, I won't drink what I need to drink. And when it comes to our lives, if we will spend so much time on things that are just maybe not even a sin, but fill our lives up with things that are just not important, we're not going to get what we need. We're not going to have a desire for the Word of God when we have problems like malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Just as junk food decreases their appetite for nutritious food, there are ways we fill our hearts and minds can also decrease our appetite for God's Word. They may not even be sinful, but they divert our attention, and worse, they destroy our appetite for the Scripture. They might need to go, and they might need to go for a season. Say, well, there's nothing wrong. There might not be, but if it's distracting you from the Bible, distracting you from the Word of God, it might be something you say, I don't really need that. Competing appetites include excessive amounts of maybe entertainment when it comes to electronical things, sometimes movies dull our senses for real life, and sometimes we have a level of busyness that actually causes us to not have the ability to focus on the Word of God, and all you want to do is sit there and play Candy Crush all day because that's all you have the ability to do. You know, that's just, you know, we're too busy then. I put it this way. The Lord spoke my heart about it is when I wake up in the morning and if there is something I want to do before reading my Bible or checking the Word of God, then there's something that's wrong. If my first desire isn't to get into the Bible and to get into the Word of God, if my first desire is to check the sports page, or if my first desire is to check my emails, if my first desire is to check what what happened in the world, then I have some mixed up priorities. I might need to set that thing aside for a while till I cultivate and until I begin to desire the Word of God more than I desire anything else. As Job was saying, I desire this more than I desire food. There was one preacher who put it this way a long time ago. He said, I love reading the paper. He says, I love reading the paper, not online, but in the paper. He said, but one time God spoke to my heart. And he says, I made a promise to God. I am never going to read the paper before I read my Bible. And that was something he struggled with. That was something he looked forward to. It. He had an appetite. He had a desire to read the paper and see what was going on. But he realized that that appetite was competing with the appetite he had for the Word of God. And if we're going to cultivate an attitude and a desire and an appetite for the Word of God, there's some things we're going to lay aside. And the Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But it continues on. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If we're going to draw nigh unto God, there are some things we're going to have to leave behind. We're going to have to cleanse our hands. We're going to have to purify our hearts. We're going to have to say, okay, this is stopping me from drawing closer to God. I'm going to have to set this aside. If I'm going to get closer to God, there are some things that are just going to have to fall by the wayside. There are some things I'm going to have to give up in order to be closer to God. And if I want to develop an appetite, and if I want to develop a hunger for the Word of God, I need to look at the things that are competing against it. I need to say, okay, this drinking this or eating this will stop me from needing the healthy nourishment things I need. I need to stop drinking, eating those things that are bad for me so I can focus on the good things. I need to stop worrying about things that really maybe not be sins, but they might be something that is slowing me down and keeping me away from this book. We're never going to have a hunger for the Word of God unless we're willing to set certain things aside. Get rid of competing appetites. Third thing is, examine your relationship with God. Examine your relationship with God. Bible says in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. We need to make sure that our heart is right. If we have no desire for the Bible, there's something wrong with our walk with God. If we have no desire for the Word of God and to hear God's instructions and to learn from God's Word, there is something wrong with our walk. Number one, check your relationship. A newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the Word. Sometimes people never desire it. It's because they've never been newborn. Sometimes people have never truly ever accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And sometimes it's just because they're spiritually sick. And they do not want what they need to get right. And I'm not trying to convince somebody that they're not saved tonight. But I do want you to encourage you to check your relationship. Check your heart. Ask God. God, I don't have a desire here for your word. I don't have a desire. I don't have a hunger for it. I want for my heart to pant for your word. I want to have that desire. I want to long for it. I want to delight in it. I want to grow. I want to be like that newborn babe that has to have it and not going to stop until I get it. And that's something that we don't have. We need to check our relationship. We need to make sure that we're saved. Plus, we need to see what's stopping us. Here it says it might be malice. Here it might say it might be guile. It might be hypocrisies. It might be envies. These type of things might distract us. So we need to check our relationship and see what is going on. The fourth thing I want you to think about when it comes to developing a culture, developing a hunger for the Word of God is be a doer of the Word, not a hearer. I don't want to think I'm going to re-preach the message from this morning, but if you are just hearing and not doing, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become frustrated in your Christian life. You're going to say, nothing's changed. It makes no difference in my life. It has no meaning to me. It's like they talked about this morning in Jeremiah. I have no hope. I'm going to just keep on doing my own thing. And it said in Jeremiah chapter 18 that the people, when Jeremiah came to them and says, look, you need to repent of your ways, they says, there's no hope in that. And if we live a life and have a spiritual life and we continue down this route that we hear, and we do not do what the Word of God says, this is what's going to happen to us too. I'm going to say, there's no hope in there. But this is what changes lives. Hearing without doing is discouraging. It reinforces the lie that God's word can't change a life. It reinforces the lie that God's word doesn't make a difference. It reinforces the lie the devil says it doesn't matter if you read it or not. But if you apply the truth, if you allow God to make the change, if you allow God to change you into his image, into his son's image, we will hunger for it more. When we see the Bible changing our lives, we're going to have a greater desire to want to read it more. When we see it impacting us, and when we see the Word of God being used by the Holy Spirit of God in our lives to fight the spiritual warfare, and we see victories and we see growth, you know what's going to happen? We're going to want it more. We're going to have a desire for it more. We're going to hunger it more. But the problem is, we're not blessed in our Christian lives. We don't see a transformation because many times we hear it, we read it, but we think it's optional whether or not to apply it. Think about what it says in James chapter 1, verse 25. It says, but whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and that's referring to the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be blessed in his deed. When we see God's blessings in our lives and we see the connection that the word of God has changed us and helped us, it's going to cause us to want to have a greater hunger for it. You know, sometimes people go on diets. Sometimes people, you know, they lose weight and they help. And I tell you, if you have something and you try something and it works and you're trying to diet and you lose weight, you don't mind keep on doing it. You don't mind keeping on eating it because of the fact it's made a difference. You see what it's done. It causes you to actually desire the water more than the soda because you see the difference it's making in your lives. It causes you to actually want to eat salads. I don't know who in the world would want to eat a salad, but it causes you to want to eat salads because you see the difference it's making and it's accomplishing a purpose in your life. And I tell you, if we learn to be a doer of the word instead of just a hearer of the word, and we let God change our lives, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have a desire for it. We're going to hunger for it. We're going to say, okay, God, what in here is going to help me become more like you? What in here is going to help you help me become more like you and make a difference in this world? What's going to help my family? What's going to help my church? What's going to help me to have that peace and that offer that grace and all those different things that God promises? And to be blessed, we're going to desire it more. Next thing I want you to think about is practice spiritual discipline. Say, Pastor, you said it shouldn't be a grin and bear it type thing. Shouldn't be a grit your teeth and just kind of make it through. It shouldn't. But the reality is we need to be disciplined in our lives. We need to be disciplined in our spiritual lives. Sometimes when we have hunger for the word of God, and sometimes we don't. You know what? I wish it wasn't that way. I wish I could say every single morning I got up and I was excited and that I had to read the Bible first and foremost. There are mornings when that's it. There are mornings when I'm waking up and I want to hear the Word of God. I want to hear from the Word of God. And I want to read it, and I don't want to stop reading it. I have to keep on going. I have to stop because I got to go do something else. I got to go to work. I got to do this. Got to do that. But there are days when the desire is not there. But practicing spiritual discipline helps put you in a place for that hunger to return. Reading the Word of God and learning from the Word of God and praying and asking God to show you and to develop you and to apply these things to your life, you know what that's going to cause? That's going to cause the hunger to come back. By ignoring it, hunger's never going to come back. Next thing I want you to see, and this is the last one. Make adjustments that work for you. So what do you mean? Well, I know that we've been told, and I think it's good to read through your Bible. I think some people have told me they read their three chapters a day and they get through the Word of God and they're done. And that is a wonderful thing to read through the Bible in a year. I know that I've had people say, hey, I read six chapters a day. And I think that's great. Whatever works for you, make adjustments. Sometimes people say, okay, I'm going to change it. I'm going to read the Bible through chronologically instead. I'm going to read the Bible, you know, one chapter at a time, but I'm going to spend a whole month reading these three chapters. Because after I got these three chapters down, I understand these three chapters, next month, I'm going to spend, you know, a whole month reading three chapters or one book. And so I can learn and I can grow and I can understand. And in your walk, if you've been saved for many years, that after a while, you're going to become very knowledgeable in the Word of God. And as you understand the Bible and as you apply the Bible and as it makes a difference in your life, you're going to hunger it. You're going to want to know more. You're going to want to know what the next page says. You're going to say, hey, I'm getting something out of my scriptures, and I'm not going to be satisfied until I get something out of it also. Some people help if they write a journal, and they write things down of the things they've learned. That helps some. Some go to bed earlier so they won't be so tired when it's time to get up. I think it's good to at least be systematically reading through your Bible, whether it's just one chapter a day and then using other times and other ways to read. I think it's good that we always systematically read through the Bible, but there's nothing wrong with personal Bible study in other areas. There's nothing wrong with learning and growing from it. If there's obstacles in your life, what works for you, make that work. I think we should start off our day in the Word of God, even if it's just a few verses. You say, well, I do better doing it at night. I do better what works in the afternoon. Do what's best for you, but make sure you give at least a little bit of your morning over to the Lord. Make what works for you. Our hunger for the Word of God, in fact, is a measurement of our spiritual health. It actually shows us and teaches us what's important and what's valuable to us. And I tell you, you can get out of bed each and every day and say, I want to hear from God, and I'm going to open up the Word. You can be hungry for the Word of God. When they wrote these words like, my delight is in the law of the Lord, you know what? It was true. He delighted in the Word of God. When he talked about he esteemed the words of his mouth more than necessary food, that was true. When David said, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments, he wanted to hear from God. When they're saying newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, now look at that next phrase, that ye may grow thereby. We're supposed to be growing as Christians. None of us have arrived to where we cannot learn. We're supposed to be growing. And as a child, as a newborn babe, they're cute. They, you know, whatever. But when they stay that same size for a period of time, there's something wrong. They're supposed to be growing, and that's what it's saying here, that we might grow thereby. It says, verse number 3, if so be you have tasted the Lord is gracious. They've tasted the Lord is gracious. They know that they're growing. I want to encourage you today, develop a hunger for God's Word. How do you do that? You got to first get into the Bible. Secondly, things that are competing with you, the appetites that are competing with you, get rid of those things that are competing against God's Word. Be a doer of the Word, just not a hearer. Make adjustments. Apply the things to your heart. Apply the things to your life. I read something that I thought was kind of cute because so many people love their phones and their cell phones. It says, survey says that 64% of Americans use a smartphone today. And it says, research shows that 3 in 4 of U.S. still see the Bible as the Word of God. So it's a similar percentage. Did you ever wonder what would happen if you treated your Bible like you treated your cell phone? Think about it. So what if you carried it around with you in your bag or pocket all day long? What if you actually flipped through your Bible several times a day instead of flipping through your phone several times a day? What if you actually would go back into the house if you forgot it? Now, I can't leave the house without my phone. That's the way I look at things. I need to go get it. What if I did that with my Bible? What if you receive messages from the text? Just like we get text messages. What if you treat it like you could not live without it? What if you gave it to your kids as a gift? What if you used it when you traveled also? What if you used it when an emergency came up? You know, there is something in our life that we could say, where's my Bible? I need to read it. Unlike a cell phone, you don't have to worry about the Bible being disconnected. You don't have to worry about paying the bill because Jesus already paid the bill. But sometimes we give a greater priority to our electronics today than the way we do the Word of God. We need to learn to develop a hunger and an appetite for the Word of God. Some of us, the Bible reading becomes dry. Let's cultivate a desire for it. Get rid of those competing appetites. Get rid of those things that are slowing us down. Taste and see the Lord is good. Apply the things to our lives. Let God make a change in our lives. Use what works for you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.